This is the Social Link Podcast, episode 49.
The Dungeon Master of My Life.
The Social Link Podcast. Today is January 10th, 2015. This is Alex.
This is Anthony, but Hazels? What the? Hey-alls?
Hey-alls. Hey-alls.
Are you from the South or what, dude?
I sometimes get into that Southern kind of thing from time to time. Like right. Cowboy, like Yeehaw, Matey. Wait, why is that? Why is there a pirate there?
I don't know.
I don't know.
You're not awake.
I am not awake. It is about 11 a.m. right now on a Saturday.
12 o'clock where I'm at.
It's 12. Okay, it's 12 o'clock where you're at, and we're barely functioning, but I think we functioned pretty well. We just recorded episode 48, and we're continuing on to 49. How are you doing? I know that sounds silly, considering that, you know, it was just like maybe 5-10 minutes ago.
Well, since it's been such a long time, I am as well as I have been, so...
Yeah. Okay. I do, but first of all, I do want to welcome everybody in the chat room. TSL Smokey says that really wasn't that good of a Southern attempt. I wasn't even trying, to be honest, TSL Smokey. Welcome everybody again. I know that this is like the second episode we're recording, but hopefully everybody's doing fantastic. We certainly are, or however much energy we're mustering to do these episodes.
Indeed.
But how are you doing, good sir? Like, are you, you know, are you feeling a little bit more awake?
Oh, I am. I have to be. I got to go Dungeon Master after this.
Oh, are you going to be the Dungeon Master?
Okay. I'm always Dungeon Master. You don't know about this. A lot of people don't know this about me. I always talk a lot about Dungeons & Dragons, even on my Facebook. You can attest to that, right?
Mostly DC Comics.
Well, lately it's been a lot of D&D, though. And... the thing about it, a lot of people don't know is that I have not been a player in Dungeons & Dragons in almost a decade.
Wow.
I Dungeon Master. And I'm not the most organized person, but it's one of the few occasions that I am very organized. And I'm a pretty good Dungeon Master.
So you mean to tell me that you're not a good Dungeon Master of your life?
No.
Wow.
I can maintain a whole world, a magical, fictional world, but my own life... my life's not that bad. It's just kind of disorganized, I guess, is the biggest problem. But it's not a bad life. Oh, it's not like I'm like taking crack or anything like that. So,
jeez. Where else are we going to go to today? Earlier today, like, it was pronunciation. Now we're talking about crack and all that stuff. Holy crap.
I'm not going to be Jonah Hill in the Wolf of Wall Street. We'll say that. We'll leave it at that.
That's Quaaludes, not crack.
I thought he told him to smoke the crack pipe. When they were in the restaurant.
Okay, fine. But, you know, the most popular scene, personally, like, my most memorable scene in that movie was the Quaalude scene where Leonardo DiCaprio is crawling to his car.
Oh, yeah. That's much later in the movie, though. Yeah. This is when, like, right after they first met.
Sure. Anyway.
So, anyway. But, yeah, I'll be doing some dungeon mastering. We got, you know, a good campaign going. I'm real, you know, if there's any Dungeons and Dragons fans, just a recommendation, not going to go into detail. I will say that the 5th edition of the game is the best edition I have played, and I've played every edition. Mm-hmm. And what's great about it is it retains the classic feel, but it's not overly complex. It's streamlined, but not dumbed down. And they, you know, fixed a lot of the problem with 4th edition. 4th edition felt too video gamey. Mm-hmm. This edition is back to like 3rd and 2nd, but the problem with 3rd edition in particular was that there were too many rules for everything.
Wait. Stop right there. Stop okay. Right there. You've already talked about this like 5 weeks ago.
Oh, okay, then let's move on then. Thank you for reminding me.
See, and who doesn't listen to the Social Link podcast now?
I do, but that show... But that was one of the first shows that we aired from that first five...
What are you talking about? No, we didn't.
I don't remember those shows. I do listen to it, though.
Still shaking my head over here.
I know. Fucking Alex. But anyway, that my point is, go check it out. How about that?
Okay.
Okay. So, what about you? What about you?
So, one of the things we kind of forgot to do in the previous episode was to kind of ask how our holidays have been. So, how are your holidays, Anthony?
Well, all my problems happened after the holidays, so...
Okay, well, not...
So that's good.
Kind of... Okay, we already talked about your water pipes, okay? Like, let's... Well, anything good? Anything positive come out of it? Come on.
Oh, no, yeah. Yeah, pretty good stuff. I got mostly clothes, which is okay for Christmas. Not really any games,
but... I would totally rage quit Christmas if I got more clothes, because I had about... 12 loads of laundry before my girlfriend came down to spend with me, like, on the holiday season, and she was like, you did 12 loads of laundry? And I was like, yeah. So she's like, how many clothes do you have? And I'm like, a shit ton, apparently. So, yeah, so if I got any more clothes, I would have rage quit Christmas, which, by the way, didn't happen, so that was
cool. Nice.
Then again, I also didn't get anything for Christmas, which kind of sucks, but, well.
I did get 2 games, though, over the holiday break.
Oh, did you?
Suikoden 2, and which I paid $10 and not $250. And I got the first episode. I still need to get the season pass of Game of Thrones, which I have yet to play.
Okay.
So
good shit.
We'll see. Good shit. I have not played Game of Thrones though yet. I really want to.
Yeah. I actually got Little Big Planet 3.
Oh, I forgot about that was even coming out.
I also got Tactics Ogre, Let Us Cling Together for some reason.
Which, again, you talked about you surprising me. That when you told me that the other day, I think when we were playing Final Fantasy 14 before my subscription ended, that shocked me.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's not your genre.
That's not a genre that I particularly like. Turn-based strategy, meh, not so much.
Yeah. Now, that's more of a genre for your girlfriend, from what I understand.
Yes,
but not so much
she's really into Fire Emblem Awakening right now, so...
Yeah.
She's like... We were talking the other night, and she's like, when does this end? Because like, it just keeps on going forever.
What, Fire Emblem?
Yeah.
It's not that long of a game. It's only 20 hours.
What?
Yeah.
Then I don't know then, because like apparently for her, she was saying that it's just keeps on going and going and going.
Huh. I don't know.
Play the right game? I mean, I don't know. Suspect.
I don't know. I'll have to, you know what, I'll load my game after this podcast and find out how long it took me to beat just to make sure. But I know it was only like 20 hours.
Sure.
Pretty sure.
Okay.
So there you go on that.
Okay, so before we actually begin the podcast, we're going to be talking about a lot of new stuff that happened over the past several weeks. A lot of things have happened. We picked about 3 of them that were really super important. But before we even begin that, I do want to take an opportunity to kind of talk to you about your first-rate experience in Final Fantasy XIV, because to me, this is kind of a big deal. It's like, you know, when people go into raids in MMOs, especially if it's their first time, it's usually... When, you know, it's usually a mixed bag, you mm-hmm. know, like, especially, like, when I hear people did their first raids in, like, World of Warcraft, I shuddered. Like, I was like, I will never do raids ever in my entire life. And then Final Fantasy XIV came along and said, well, you know, raids can be fun. And so, like, you know, I looked at it and played through my first experience through, you know, raids in Final Fantasy XIV, and I was like, wow, this is actually not that bad. This is pretty fun. But,
yeah.
We played through... The Labyrinth of the Ancients in Final Fantasy XIV recently.
It was a good time. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. Was it the perfect experience? No, it wasn't. Why? Because we had a fighter that was not very bright, if you recall.
No, I don't, actually. Do you want to elaborate on that?
Okay, so there was a tank that kept rushing ahead before the group was gathered. Because when you have this, when you have the raid, it's, what, 24 people, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so... in general terms, from what I've learned of MMOs, your tanks are your leaders, essentially. You got to follow them. Mm-hmm. What the fuck happened? We had one fighter that was just messing up over and over. And I remember he was leading group. I think he got us wiped a few times. Remember?
I think so.
Yeah, yeah. He was that one fighter.
Ooh,
I remember
that. I remember that when he basically like rushed into the Atomos fight and stepped on the platform and activated all three platforms. I was like, oh, well, that's happening.
Yep, he did that. I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was that. And then there was another fighter chastising him. But what was funny was that
Wait. There are no fighters in Final Fantasy XIV.
I know, I'm thinking D&D terms. The tanks, fucking tanks. The other tank was not... The other tank was chastising that one, right? The one that fucked up with the Atmos fight. But I remember he fucked up a bunch of...
Atomos fight. Pronunciation.
God damn it, here we go.
This is going to be a theme throughout the year. Pronunciation. Atomos.
Last year was getting me to play 2013 games.
Which now you my failed, by the way.
I know I did.
You failed miserably. Let's bring that up again. Let's bring that up again. I had a bet with Anthony, and I told him, like, you need to finish, like, Assassin's Creed Black Flag, South Park, The Stick of Truth, Tomb Raider, and Bioshock Infinite, and The Last of Us. None of those were finished.
Never happened.
Never happened. Yep.
Never.
And I told him, like, look, I was going to give you, like, $20 in, like, Amazon credit. Nope. Failed.
You know what happened? What? Final Fantasy XIV fucking happened. It made me quit the other games. Wait. It made me quit the other games that I was playing that were not related to the bet, like Tales of the Abyss and shit. So
That's your fault for playing Tales of the Abyss.
I'm not blaming you for it. I'm just saying Final Fantasy XIV happened.
But it brings forth the issue that you have with time management.
Yep. Final Fantasy XIV happened. Yep. I'm going to find out how the fuck this guy does it here pretty quick. So we'll figure it. But anyway, this motherfucking tank, he was bitching at the other tank for fucking up the Atomos fight. There we go. And he fucked up too, because I remember there was those giant eye things we were fighting. Do you know? No, the bombs. Remember the bombs?
Sure.
And he got us wiped in that one because I guess if I remember correctly, you have to kill the other bombs before they explode.
Yes.
Something like that. Can you explain that better since you've done the raid?
I don't really want to explain too much of it. Mainly the bottom line is you're supposed to basically... You're supposed to run through the middle of this section and then kind of go through like these three big monster demons and stuff, and you kind of have to pull them away from the center as possible, or else they'll generate armor for each other. It's beyond the context of our podcast. But anyways, the bottom line is that he kept aggroing all of them even before everybody else was in the fight. So it's like,
yep. And he was chastising someone else to do it, which was hypocritical. So
then you did it.
Oh, I fucked up too. Yeah. I fucked up one time on accident.
That same fight, you basically aggroed all three of them. I was like, oh, Jesus, Anthony.
But you rezzed me, though, and we didn't get wiped out time.
Yeah, that happened.
So that wasn't too bad.
Yeah.
But we survived it, and that was an accident, because my fuck up, I remember now what I did was I got separated from you guys, so I rushed over without paying attention to my surroundings just to get back to, because what they do in that raid is they separate the 24 people into parties of 8, and you and I were in the same group, and I was trying to regroup with us, and I kind of aggroed stuff, so.
Yep. But overall, your experience?
I enjoyed it, though, because... Here's the thing. I've seen raids on World of Warcraft, and it just seems like it's just slaughtering things, right?
Well,
in this one, it was like, you know, you have to do it. You know, it's kind of like puzzles that you solve with a group. You know, like with the Atomos one. You know, you have to kill these enemies pretty much at the same time as the other parties. If that was it, something like that. But what it is it's about key coordination, and that was very important. And it was interesting because even if one person fucked up, I mean, 24 people is a lot of people, but if one person fucked up, the whole raid or that whole section can go terribly wrong.
How do you feel about Circus Tower then? Because that's all thrown out the window.
I have not done Circus Tower yet.
Yeah. So we'll see. But you'll know what I'm talking about when I say that, oh yeah, by the way, they threw that all out the window.
Indeed, indeed.
It's even more straightforward than Labyrinth. In fact, Circus Tower is easier than Labyrinth of the Ancients.
Okay. Okay. Now, what are the other raids in that game other than those?
The Binding Coil of Bahamut, which I honestly don't think you're ready for that.
Okay.
This is, like, you need to have your coordination and your skills perfect for that.
Well, you know what? I have heard that a lot of people, experienced players, have had difficulties with those.
Yep.
So, well, you know what? I want to do other stuff first.
Yeah,
so.
See, the problem with you is that you don't play the game consistently anymore. So, you kind of expect to kind of go back into the saddle and kind of like say, like, yeah, I got this. But this is, you know, the game is a lot more challenging this time around, especially with the kind of gear that you have, since you have low-level gear.
No, it's not. See, that's the brilliance of the game, though. It's not a game that it remains kind of stagnant. It changes. So this Binding Coil of the Bahamut, you know, you have to play differently. And that's the one thing you kept telling me when I was on my journey to level 50, remember?
Right.
That the game would change. And you're fucking right about that. It's not the same game that I started.
Yep. Back in August, yeah, there's a completely different game now.
It's completely different game. Yep. So at this point, when I, you know, get my subscription back, I think I'm going to focus on getting some better equipment. And continuing stories, the main story stuff, which is not dungeons and things like that. And getting back into the saddle of things. And then once I play straight for a good couple weeks, I, you know, start doing the more difficult shit. So,
yep.
And Circus Tower, you said, is not terribly difficult.
No, it's not.
So maybe that'll be kind of the training things on the way to that. So,
yeah, kind of. Anyways, let's not dwell too much on Final Fantasy XIV. We've dedicated an episode on it, instances.
Several episodes.
Even the Game of the Year episode that we had several weeks, you know, like 2 weeks back, 3 weeks back now, at least. Let me ask you this one question. TSL Smokey in the chat asks, what is your favorite boss reference to previous Final Fantasy games and Final Fantasy XIV? And if they were to place any Bravely Default bosses that you know of in Final Fantasy XIV, which would you want the most?
Ooh, okay. Considering that the main bosses of Bravely Default are taken from Final Fantasy, I'm trying to think. It's been a while since I played Bravely Default. The Earth boss, I think it's, I don't remember what it was, but I remember that battle was kind of cool. I would like to see that because it's kind of like a lich type thing. If I'm not mixing it up with other Final Fantasy Earth bosses, that one's pretty cool. And my favorite boss reference in Final Fantasy XIV is Ultima Weapon. Although the boss itself wasn't that great, Ultima Weapon was cool.
That's because you haven't actually fought the hard version of Ultima Weapon.
Okay. You like the ultimate, the hard version of it?
I played it, and let's just put it this way. It's pretty difficult.
Okay.
Pretty difficult.
Hard mode, final boss.
TSL Smokey says, personally would love to have Conjurer Yuliana to face off against, and you're talking about Gigas Lich.
Yeah, Gigas Lich, which was a bitch.
It rhymes. His personal favorite reference is Gilgamesh, and I can kind of empathize with that. The Gilgamesh fight in Final Fantasy XIV, the setup for it is actually different than Final Fantasy V, but the fight itself is seemingly pulled straight from Final Fantasy V. You, in fact, the name of the actual trial itself is called Battle at the Big Bridge.
Oh, that's right.
Which is the name of the name of the song that plays when you fight him at the Big Bridge.
Yep, I it's been forever, but that came back to me.
Yep.
Came back to me.
All right, Smokey, have a good one, man. Thank you for dropping by.
Thank you.
So, for me, favorite reference. Ooh, this is difficult, man. My favorite reference, I have to say, all the bosses so far in the Crystal Tower. Even though I have never played through Final Fantasy III, I love the fact that they did it. than that they tied it with the storyline of Final Fantasy XIV. I really do appreciate it.
I did beat the DS remake years ago. And when we were playing the Labyrinth of the Ancients, some of those bosses came back to me.
Ah.
So some of them. It's been such a long time.
Yeah.
So just real quick on that, you know, they have one more level of that to add, right?
The World of Darkness in 2 weeks.
Fucking A.
I'm actually going to be streaming the World of Darkness when it comes out on the 20th of this month. So I can't wait. Me and several of my the Link Shell people. By the way, just kind of a plug. We do have a Link Shell called Backlog Battlers on Mateus on Final Fantasy XIV that is made up of every single viewer who subscribed to Final Fantasy XIV. So if you want to join us on Mateus, that is the easiest way to connect to us. There's some information in the chat room and as well as backlogbattle.com. If you want to contact us and stuff. But yes, we're going to go in the World of Darkness blind.
Jesus Christ.
That is going to be exciting. And that's going to be a pain in the ass, too.
I'll wait. I'm going to wait. So there you go. That's all
You have no choice. You still have to beat Circus Tower.
Well, also, I would assume my item level's probably low too.
I don't know. I haven't seen you play in a long time. I can't even I can't even tell.
Yeah. Yeah.
We spent half an hour on Final Fantasy XIV.
Let's not talk about Final Fantasy XIV. How about that?
Good. Let's move on to the first news article that I want to talk about, which is the PlayStation/Xbox holiday season outage. Now, unless you're living under a rock, you've known that, you know, like over Christmas break and stuff like that, there were about maybe 2 or 3 days that the PlayStation Network and Xbox Live were down. It's mainly because of a bunch of hackers who we're not even going to name. You can find that news somewhere else. What do you think about this, Anthony?
All right. So it was not as bad as what happened back in 2011, which is a great thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because that was what PSN was out for. God. A long time, huh?
Yeah.
Like almost till June, from April to June. But in this case, it was kind of annoying. It was pretty annoying. I remember you didn't realize that PSN was down at the point at a certain point. I remember you messaged me and said, let's get on Final Fantasy XIV and do Circus Tower. And I'm like, I can't, dude. And you go, why not? And I go, PSN is down, remember?
Right.
So I was
going to stream that morning too of Christmas. And then they were down. So I'm like, well, I can't stream it anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, it was shitty, man. It limited what you can do. At the time, what was even worse was my PlayStation Plus account expired and I had just done a new one, right? Renewed it.
Resubscribed.
Whatever. So I did that. And what happened was you have to log in to PSN to revalidate those games when that happens to you, right? So I had all these PlayStation Plus games on PS3, PS Vita, and PS4 that I could not play because I could not revalidate them.
Right.
So that was a pain in the ass.
Yeah. Shiro Terra actually said that was a pain that PSN was down the longest time. And in 2011, PSN was down for a whole month and all we got was 5 extra PlayStation Plus days. Actually, we didn't just get that. We actually got free games too.
Yeah, we did, huh?
Yeah.
I remember getting Wipeout and stuff.
Yeah, I want to say it was Tomb Raider, Underworld, and Far Cry 2.
Yeah, I remember that. We got some
games.
Pretty good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was like choose 2 free games for your PlayStation and then 2 free games for your.
Yeah.
Or 1 free game for your PSP because there was no Vita at the time.
Right, right. Exactly. Yeah.
So something like that. But yeah, that I remember that.
Okay.
Oh, he means now.
You're not supposed to check the chat room. Anthony. Oh,
yeah. Okay. Minimizing that. Okay.
Sorry about that. Anthony gets really distracted. He is like Doug from Up, from the movie Up, Pixar's Up, where it's like, squirrel! Yeah, that's you.
Okay. Okay. I never saw Up, though.
You have to see it now.
Okay.
Okay.
I will watch it.
So, I don't have any opinions about this. It sucks. That's all I have to say about that. I mean, really, like, you know, I don't. Anthony wanted to talk about it, and apparently, that's all he had to talk. He had to say, and I'm like, okay.
Well, right. We have other things to talk about too, though. That are
Now I'm looking at the time. I'm like, I don't think this is going to fill our whole time slot. But in any case, let's just kind of move on. Sony recently revealed that the PlayStation Now service will have a subscription of $20 a month or $45 for 3 months, which basically allocates to about $15 per month. You have to prepay for all 3 months. What do you think of this subscription service? I mean, this is something that Sony's been promising that will happen. What do you think? Have you even tried PlayStation Now?
I have not tried PlayStation Now, but I did look into it, okay? And here's the one thing I do know. When you have a subscription, there's a list of games that you can play with the subscription, which is a very substantial list. But there's also a list of games that you can't play and you have to rent separately. So just keep that in mind for those that are going to subscribe. Am I not correct on that?
Yeah. It's not everything, unfortunately.
Yeah. But what they do offer, I think, is there's some good variety there, man. There's some good variety there. I mean, it has games like Catherine and, you know, stuff like that on there. But again, I think it's worth it. I think it would be something I might try out. But from the subscription basis, anyway. What about you?
For $20 a month, in addition to your PlayStation Plus, you know, $50 a year, that sounds a lot.
Well, I would say the better...
We're talking about $240 a year.
That's true. That's a good point. I would say the 3 month one would be the way to go, though.
That's about $180 a year.
I would say
that's three video games. That's three full video games that are brand freaking new that you can spend that money on.
That's true. That is true. Well, I don't know. You obviously don't. You're not too fond of it.
I'm not too fond of it because I feel the $20 is not the sweet spot for this service.
Okay.
Here's what you should do, Sony. And seriously, this will make everybody want to consider this. Everybody. Not just maybe the people with passing interest on the side. Everybody. Okay? Right now, how much is PlayStation Plus?
$17 for 3 months, $50 for a year.
$50 a year.
Okay.
That way. If you basically say that if you have a PlayStation Plus service, you can get the PlayStation Now subscription for $10 a month, but only when you're a member of PlayStation Plus, that is a sell.
I can see that.
$120? That's still about two games. But $10 a month is more appealing from a number standpoint than 20.
That's true.
Or 45. You know? Shiratera actually brings up a really important point, too. $20 is a lot, especially because a lot of players don't have the best internet.
That is true, too. That is true.
Yeah.
I can relate to that.
Yeah, you definitely could.
Yeah. Well, you got to consider, too, that, you know, from where I'm at, you know, internet connections, there are areas in my area, maybe like even a mile south of me, that can't even get fucking DSL. They can only get dial-up still. That's how bad it is. So, I mean, that's kind of a good point. That is a good point.
Yeah. And to me, like, $10 is the magic number. I mean, $10 a month, if you're a PlayStation Plus subscriber, you'll still get a lot of money from it, but you'll get a lot more people jumping on the opportunity. Because it's still appealing. You know? $20 is the price of a full game.
That's true. You got the point. I didn't really think of it that way until you brought it up.
Okay, I mean, okay, granted, $10 is also the price of a full game. $20 is a lot. It's a lot of money. It is a lot of... You can buy two games with that.
That's a good point. I did not think of it in that context.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't even know if I really want to try PlayStation Now, to be honest.
PlayStation Now is pretty good.
You've tried it, obviously, right?
Yes. I actually played it with Lightning Returns. I just played it for like 3 hours or so. And it's still, you know, individually, they're even expensive. That's even just as ridiculous.
Yeah, that's right. It's like $17.99 for 90 days or something like that, right?
I wish. Some games are like $40 for that amount of time.
Jesus Christ. Okay.
Yeah. Some of it is not palatable.
Now, do you know if there's a particular reason as to why it's so expensive? Is it because of the technology or?
The publisher.
Okay.
The price.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. I think Sony needs to step in and be like, hey, you can't be that way. Like, $60. Like, there was one game, I feel like, it was like $50 or $60 for 90 days. And I'm like, why shouldn't you just buy the actual game?
And have it for infinity.
Yeah. Like, that doesn't make sense to me.
Hmm.
You know, like, that's what the used market is for. You know?
Maybe in a couple weeks I'll give it a try just for the sake of seeing how it works.
$5 for like, you know, for like 3 hours for a particular game isn't that bad, just to kind of play around with it. It's a novel idea, great concept, but for the most part, it's like you need to take this seriously in order for gamers to take it seriously. And the fact of the matter is, if you're just offering this as kind of like an additional income source, which is what they're positioning it right now, to be honest, it's not that good.
I'm with you.
Like, you spent hundreds of millions of dollars to make this infrastructure, and it's not going to be, like, appealing to people. Forget it. Forget it.
I'm with you.
Yeah. Okay, so let's move on. The next topic is something that, you know, you wouldn't think that we're kind of interested in, but Greg Miller, Colin Moriarty, Nick Scarpino, and Tim Geddes have all left IGN to work on Kinda Funny. It is a full-time kind of comedy / video game / geek kind of channel on Twitch and podcast as well. It is also funded by Patreon, which a lot of people hate for some reason.
Why do they? You don't know why? I don't even know what Patreon is, to be honest.
Well, Patreon, that's how it's pronounced. Patreon, okay. a lot of...
Enunciation.
Exactly. Pronunciation, not enunciation. A lot of people don't like, you know, Twitch channels using it. But I'm like, but that's just another way of support. You know, it's a way to get a subscription from somebody without actually being a Twitch partner.
I gotcha. I
don't see a problem with this.
Okay, and you probably got idiots like, oh, if you go with that company, you're a sellout, assholes, right? Those guys.
Yeah, as usual, yeah. But I'm like, hey, by the way, we need to live too. If you want me, like, you know, for me, like, as a streamer, I try to balance my time between work, like, actual work, streaming and / video games, because they share the same space now, and my personal life, which includes taking care of my immediate friends, my loved ones, and my friends, and being social with them. It's very difficult when I can't make streaming and video games my work life, because work life takes about, okay, I people say, you know, work hours are practically like what, like, you know, 40 hours a week.
9 to 5,
something like that. Yes. But they don't take into account, okay, it's actually 9 hours because there's an hour that you get for lunch break. Not only that, if you're in Southern California, you spend 3 hours in your commute.
Right.
So three hours plus that one, that's 4, plus the 8, that's 12. So 12 times 5, that's how many hours you spend at work, technically. Calculate that.
Okay.
I'm really bad at math. Yeah, funny, Asian.
Jesus!
60 hours for work.
Okay.
Okay. That's 60 hours that I could spend, like, streaming, for example. But I'm not so upfront about that sort of thing with people, mainly because, you know, people think, like, oh, you're a sellout. I'm like, no, I just love what I do. It's just that, unfortunately, I don't have time to do it. That being said, Greg Miller and those guys at IGN, who were formerly with IGN, were doing some of the stuff that they really like, but because they're under IGN, they couldn't do it. You know, they couldn't do their shows the way that they wanted to.
Yep, because IGN is a corporation, ultimately.
Yeah, it's a business.
Yeah, it's a business. Right?
Not to say that Kinda Funny is not a business. It totally is a business. They have a different outlook on how things should work.
Right. Right, right.
Because they don't have investors, they're fully funded by the fans.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So that being said, I really am you know, I've always liked Greg Miller, you know, from Game Over Greggy, their show on IGN, and I'm happy that they were able to bring that with them from IGN. IGN basically said, you can take it. They're really testing out Twitch, and they're getting a lot of really good exposure. So I'm really happy of their early success. And, you know, this is, and kind of going back to what I said several months ago, I predicted this. Remember when I told you I predicted that, you know, traditional media coverage isn't going to cut it anymore?
Yep, you are right. That's because let's go back to a little bit of last year. Everyone's saying, oh, the death knell in gaming journalism is the stupid Gamergate shit. No, it's the transition of, you know, of classic style journalism to stuff like Twitch in the case of video games, right? Mm-hmm.
And that's not even journalism. It's more like entertainment because,
yeah,
you know, it really is. It really is the true meaning of entertainment, because the past several years we've been struggling with the definition of, like, what does it mean to make a TV show out of a video game, right?
Right.
Well, Twitch solves that problem.
That's true.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they had a whole network on video games at one point. We saw how well that ended up, you know?
Yeah, because it still had the values of traditional TV. The same is now happening with journalism. People look at numbers now. They don't really read a lot of reviews. People say, oh, yeah, I read the reviews, but how often do you actually read the whole review? Not a lot. You look at the numbers, you move on. And when you read something that agrees or disagrees with your palate, that's when you read it all. And then you typically and normally post something in the comments, something scathing or something like, you know, maybe that agrees with them. Who knows? They were different from person to person. The bottom line is, what I'm saying is that people are getting sick of the way that journalists actually treat different things, and there will be room for them. It just won't be where a lot of us are going to be hanging out in.
Right. Right. And even stuff like what happened with YouTube, you get a lot of gaming shows on YouTube, video game shows.
Right.
But the problem with YouTube, when I started on YouTube, it was pretty unique, right? And that's when I met you, obviously.
Right.
Back then, it was pretty cool. It was unique. It was fresh. What happened over time was you had, you know, different groups of people splinter out. But usually when you splinter out, that kind of is a good thing. In the case of this, it was a bad thing, because when they splintered it out, all the splinters got overcrowded. And then that overcrowding kind of just merged with everybody. Because what you had here was you had collectors. And that just got blown over. So everyone was doing fucking unboxing videos. Then you saw, you know, Let's Plays and whatever. And that's what happened. It just kind of got over flooded. And right now with Twitch, what we're seeing is what I saw with what YouTube was towards gaming when I started YouTube. Does that make sense? And this is something you and I have talked. So that's even more, because a lot of people are like, YouTube's the future for gaming journalism. Remember that, Alex?
Mm-hmm.
But it just, the problem is it just got overcrowded.
Yep.
It got overcrowded, and I don't feel that's the case with Twitch at this point.
The problem with YouTube is that it is locked in time. It doesn't move as fast as video games these days. And what I mean by that is that people can patch things and fix things. So that video you've been working on for that whole week, by the way, it's outdated.
Yep.
Compared to something like, you know, a stream, you can just jump right in and say, hey, how is this game after the patch? And it's like, well, the patch has kind of fixed certain things. You know, like, you can actually ask people live.
Yeah.
And that person-to-person interaction also provides, you know, a sort of informative slash entertaining aspect to, you know, to the stream, you know, to the actual channel itself. That's what it gives it life. So it's much more than just entertaining people. It's also entertaining, being informative, and actually really, you know, giving people what they like and what they need.
Exactly.
Which is to me, like, a lot of positive thought, positive energy, and all that stuff. And, you know, that's why I do these streams as well, especially, you know, when I am awake, you know, and really pushing myself to not just be comfortable with myself, but also with how I present myself with a lot of different people.
I gotcha.
So that being said, journalism, gaming journalism is becoming more personal. and it's becoming less about the reviews and the news and more about interaction, which is exactly what video games should have been striving from the very beginning.
Interaction.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it goes to something you said, I think it was last episode, was, there's other forms of interactive entertainment as opposed to video games. You were talking about your theme park visits and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that kind of ties into that, too, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. Like, it's funny because when people were saying, like, oh, yeah, Nintendo should build a real Nintendo Land, I'm like, duh. It's like, really? Like, you guys just thought of that? Because that's, yeah, that's...
Fuck you, dude. I thought of it just then, too.
Yeah. Anyway, speaking of which, let's read an email, because we have a question that was sent to us. This is from Lewis.
Okay.
This says, Dear Alex and Anthony, it's me again. Anyway, if you heard, Shigeru Miyamoto confirmed that Nintendo is working on a next gaming machine. So my question to the host and the audience is, what would you like to see on Nintendo's next gaming machine? For me, I'd like Nintendo to go back to the GameCube or Anthony's favorite console to talk about, the Dreamcast. A gaming machine with no gimmicks, no second screen experience, no touchscreen, or no motion control. Just games that are fun to play without getting hand cramps. And also something that Alex would like, possibly a downloadless system or attach games to your account and not in the machine. What would I like to see on Nintendo's gaming console?
Yeah.
Being modern.
Basically what he said.
Basically have all the bells and whistles of every single video game console out there and actually be a leader and not a follower in terms of, like, technology. Because, you know, it is an arms race. The video game industry is an arms race. Yes, they're great developers. The one piece that's missing are two things from Nintendo. A great system that's powerful enough to power all the games that we currently have. That's why we don't have Far Cry 4 or all the newer Assassin's Creed games on the Wii U. And number two, be better at third-party relations. Just because you're releasing a Zelda game this quarter doesn't mean that you're going to dick everybody else. This is something that not a lot of people know that Nintendo does. They dick other publishers and developers.
Because they have a history of doing it, too.
They have a huge history of doing it. Don't be dicks. It's no matter what the next Nintendo game machine is going to be, if they're just going to be dicks to publishers, support for it's just going to disappear. And we're already seeing it.
Yep. Yep. We are already seeing it. I'm with you on this. You know, I'm probably a bigger Nintendo supporter than you, but I don't deny that they fucked up a lot. And I think in terms of consoles, I'm with Lewis. I would like to see a traditional controller. You know, because Xbox has it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And PlayStation has it, so why not? But let's also see, like you said, the bells and whistles, you know? You know, not just having Netflix on there is not enough. You need to have stuff like Twitch streaming now. Accomplish, you know, trophies of some sort. You know, people like that shit.
That's what I mean by being leaders. You know, knowing what gamers would like and would, you know, look forward to and what they want in their platform. I don't see that's one of the reasons why I sold my Wii U, apart from the games, which they promised, they delivered eventually, but they took so long to do that. There were no other third parties that I could look forward to that came out on the Wii U. None.
Yeah.
Right after Zombie U, it was a drought.
It was a large drought, I think. Shit, dude, I don't think we saw anything. I mean, Pikmin 3, I guess, maybe, but I didn't think, for me, we didn't see anything till Super Mario 3D World.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Totally. And now we're getting really good stuff. I mean, Mario Kart 8's a blast. I have yet to play Smash Brothers Wii. I've played the 3DS version, but...
And by the way, I agree with 100% with people who say, like, yes, you buy a Nintendo platform for Nintendo games,
mm-hmm.
but not everyone is doing that anymore.
No, they're not.
That's why they had to basically hold back on their forecast, because they thought that the Wii U is just going to sell just as much as the Wii. No, it's not happening.
No, yeah, you're right. And you're right. They have to add a lot of this stuff, and they have to get better third-party relationships. I'm with you on, look, Nintendo makes quality games. There's no doubt about that. Yeah, but they really
we can both agree on.
Yeah, we can agree on that. And there's stuff that I don't mind. You know, keep virtual console, keep stuff like that. But you guys need to, you know, make it more viable. Like, you know, virtual console is a cool fucking concept, right? It keeps your games legal. You're still making cash on classic stuff. But you have to fucking make sure that you can transfer those games from one Wii U to another. Link them to a fucking account. Jesus Christ. You know? There's a fear that that if I delete a virtual console game that I'll lose my access to it and I have to repurchase it, right?
Right.
So there shouldn't be any of that. Link it to, Nintendo just instrumented a year and a half ago, the Nintendo accounts. Keep them up. Introduce a program like PlayStation Plus or Xbox Live Gold, something like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that would help them a lot, too. But who knows? They're fucking Nintendo, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm done.
The last thing that he asks is, do you still think that there's room for Nintendo to improve?
Yeah. Yeah, there's... On the game front, I think they've nailed it, but not so much. But on the hardware front, like what we just talked, there's plenty of room.
Yeah, anybody has for improvement. That's kind of a silly question.
Even Sony does. I mean, Sony right now, to me, is the best company right now in terms of, in my opinion. But they have room to improve, too. There's some things that they've done that are questionable, like some of the promises with the PS4 have not come to fruition.
Yeah, like standby. Yeah, that hasn't happened.
Oh, I really like that standby feature.
Yeah, the you mean the one that Xbox One actually has?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, and even they need improvement. Every company needs improvement.
Yeah, none of these first-party companies are doing a good job of it. Even Steam, even Valve.
Okay.
Remember Steam Machines?
Oh, yes.
What happened with that?
I don't know.
Exactly, exactly. It's like, oh, wait. And I think like it was like what 3 or 4 weeks ago they just they changed their controller again. I'm like, really? Really? This is like your fourth or fifth revision of that controller. You guys don't know what you're doing. Yeah. Watch.
That's what happens.
And I actually posted the other day like a picture of like the DualShock 4 controller. I'm like, yeah, oh wow, this new Steam controller is looking more and more like something that I know, which they're going to wind up with the traditional control scheme, I guarantee it.
Yeah, you can't really do much else with traditional controls.
Yeah, it's so pretty spot on at this
point. Yeah, yeah. Okay. I really don't.
Yeah, I know you have no stake on that, but let me read some reactions on the chat. Okay. Shira Terra says, you'd like to see something modern, but not motion control, and no more false 3D like the 3DS. False 3D, and it's actually really 3D. It's as 3D as you can get without actually having the object right in front of you. And he also says like he never really liked the Wii or the Wii U, which is understandable. Not a lot of people did. Especially the Wii U. People still think that the Wii U is an accessory to the Wii. Mm. This is something that Nintendo struggles with, is branding. The new 3DS. They called it the new 3DS.
I have fucking issues with. Don't even get me fucking started on that.
Yeah. Let me read one more. Bohemian Moose said that Nintendo were dicks to Squaresoft back in the 90s. They still are.
Well,
that's why Final Fantasy 13 is not on the Wii U. Or the Wii. I mean, Wii, obviously, but the Wii U, yeah, nope.
And that's why, you don't see that relationship. I mean, if Square's close to anyone, it's Sony. But even that, they still have a relationship with Microsoft, too.
Yeah, some degree.
To some degree. But they love Sony. Sony's been great to them since Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah, the way that I see it is this. You get a Nintendo console if you're really into, Nintendo games. You get a Sony platform if you really value strategy RPGs, JRPGs, and the like, and platformers. Although, of course, you can get that from Nintendo, but the variety isn't there.
Right.
Right? Because, obviously, Ubisoft also gave up on the Wii U. Microsoft, kind of the same thing with Sony, but more experimental stuff. I feel it's almost as if Xbox One went back to the original Xbox in terms of experimentation because it seems like they lost their identity again.
That's been a big issue. You know, that the history of the Xbox is an interesting thing to look at.
Yeah, because I personally feel the Xbox 360, great identity. It was awesome. It was amazing. It came out of the gate with really amazing games, which really cemented, I thought, the image of the system. But
yeah,
they just kind of said, you know, they're just kind of like, again, now, like, well, we have this cool thing from Insomniac. They used to be a Sony developer. Here's Dead Rising 3. That used to be cool, right? And the Xbox 360. It's like, yeah.
Yeah. The thing with the Xbox 360 real quick was I got one a couple months after it was launched. And, you know, I'm a big JRPG guy and stuff. That satisfied me for years, you know, for a good couple years until about 2009 when its fortune started to change for Sony. And, you know, I mean, it kind of started to lose its identity. Wasn't there a big change in, like, higher-ups at that time?
Yeah, there was definitely a lot.
Yeah, and I think that had a big identity because the latter half of it, I thought Sony produced better games. Or they had more variety of games, I should say, than Xbox did.
Yeah.
Whereas it was the opposite at the beginning of that, of this last 7th gen, so.
Yeah, so. I think that pretty much like answers that question. I mean, again, everybody needs an improvement. This people aren't showing up at the game with their A game. Let's put it that way. Not Valve, not Microsoft, not Nintendo, not Sony.
Nope.
There's no decisive winner. 2 years ago, you would have said yes, Sony, because they're kicking butt, or maybe Valve from last year, but no. These guys have kind of been trailing off, and hopefully 2015 we see their weapons cache and finally see, like, you know, them all like guns blazing and really fighting for our dollar.
It's going to be an interesting year, my friend.
For sure. So in any case, guys, I think that about does it for this episode of the Social Link podcast. Be sure to tune in every other Saturday. From 10 a.m. Pacific time to 1 p.m. Pacific. The next one from this recording is going to be January 24th. And hopefully we'll see you guys there. But if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, email us at sociallinkpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be happy to answer it live. And of course, you're going to be able to help us actually name the show if you're in the chat room. We're recording that day. So, do you want to say anything before we go, Anthony?
I want to thank you guys for taking time out of your Saturday for joining us, and I want to thank Alex again for doing this with me. You know, we give each other shit, but ultimately, I think we put out a good product.
Yeah, we're hoping to have a lot of improvements in 2015. We're definitely working our hardest to make this the best year for the Social Link podcast and for you guys as well. So, we're looking into a lot of different things. So, hopefully, you'll be along for the ride to see that happen. And of course, episode 52, whatever that's going to record, is going to be our 1 year anniversary. So we are going to have to plan that, Anthony.
Well, I'm pumped for it.
Yeah. So in any case, guys, thank you very much for joining us. We'll see you guys next week and we'll talk to you later.